Hey, and welcome back to Us Unfiltered. I'm your host, Adrian Selena. This is the podcast where we dive deep into raw personal stories and discuss practical strategies to help you manage your mental health and just assist you on your mental wellness journey. Today, we're diving into a topic that hits really close to home for many of us, and I know it hits close to home for me, and that is perfectionism. Whether it's striving for flawless work, maintaining an impeccable appearance, or constantly seeking approval, perfectionism can be a double-edged sword. Perfectionism can drive us to achieve really great things, but it can also drive us to try to achieve things that may be unattainable. So today, we're going to talk about ways to cope with perfectionism and find a healthier balance. I want to start by sharing a little bit about my own journey with perfectionism because I feel like a lot of you may be able to relate to this. I have always set very high standards and expectations for myself. I've always been driven to be great at everything that I can do. You know, I thought for a while that having that drive was such a great quality. And in a lot of ways, it is. It can be a great quality. But I finally started realizing through therapy and just, you know, maturing as an individual that a lot of my high standards were being driven by fear of failure or criticism. So if I'm just constantly trying to be perfect, it's going to be hard for people to criticize me. You know, I think it's natural for all of us to want to do well. It's natural for us as a human being to want to perform well and impress other people. But perfectionism, it goes beyond that. It's this intense self-criticism and anxiety, and it often tends to lead to high-functioning anxiety, where we are so afraid of failure or what other people may think that it totally grips everything that we do. And like I said, this is coming from someone who deals with this on a freaking daily basis. I have struggled with perfectionism for years. A lot of this started when I was very young, to be honest. I would say like middle school, high school age. All my friends know that I can be very obsessive when it comes to cleanliness and when it comes to things around my house. They joke that I'm Monica from Friends. You know, I'm a clean freak. I'm extremely particular and weird about where things go. I'm also a perfectionist with my work. I tend to be overly thorough sometimes. In fact, I just had an annual performance review, and one of the things that was mentioned in my performance review as a positive that I tend to have meticulous attention to detail. In the type of work that I do, that's a good thing, but all of those things tend to derive from one problem that I have, and it's perfectionism. It almost feels like I'm going to let myself down if I make a mistake. And I started to realize this correlation between my perfectionism and my high-functioning anxiety. High-functioning anxiety is not normal anxiety. It's not like being anxious about something. High functioning anxiety is a buzzword we hear a lot on social media. And I see so many things circulate online and people saying things like same or that's so me, but they don't really understand the complexity of it all. High functioning anxiety is often characterized by being constantly busy, setting impossibly high standards for yourself, and feeling like you need to stay in control at all times. You may seem like you have it all together on the outside, but in reality, on the inside, it can feel like a storm is brewing. By understanding what high-functioning anxiety is, and also understanding what drives perfectionism, it will help you start to recognize patterns within yourself and also help you start to manage it. And like I said, there's such a correlation. There's so much connection to being a perfectionist and dealing with high-functioning anxiety. And that's why I wanted to talk about them hand in hand today, because they tend to go together. Not always. Somebody who is dealing with perfectionism might not be a high-functioning anxiety person, but in my experience and what I have witnessed, they tend to go hand in hand. And I want to help share some tips that I personally have learned through therapy, through my own personal research, and just through practical application in my life of how I help cope with my perfectionism and also cope with this high functioning anxiety. I also want to share something else about myself. I grew up in a home where both of my parents were also very particular people in their own ways. My mom is extremely clean. My dad grew up in a home where his mother was actually OCD, like legitimately obsessive compulsive. Even as parents, my mom and my dad really tried to break some of those obsessive compulsive type habits, but in some ways, it's hard to break some of those habits. And when we as children grow up in a home like that, I think a lot of times we take on a lot of those same characteristics because, you know, it's monkey see, monkey do. We see our parents do it, and then we adapt it ourselves. And I'm not blaming my parents by no means for any of my issues, but I know my mom would say that she had struggled with perfectionism throughout her life. And in some ways, like I've said, it was a good thing. My mother is an extremely successful engineer. And because she has been so driven, it has helped push her into a really incredible role, especially at the age of when she was going through school and getting into the workforce. It's not like the engineering field was just flooded with women. She has broken so many stereotypes because of this drive that she's had for what would seem like to others unattainable standards. But a lot of that anxiety from trying to be perfect did affect her throughout her adulthood, where she at times would have fear of failure or overwork. I think I mirrored or mimicked a lot of those practices in my own life as an adult. I'm going to share a personal story, and to some of you, you may think this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. What a silly reason to get upset. But my perfectionism at one point in my life got so bad that it was starting to cripple me when things would unravel. Well, I had a friend visiting in town a few years back, and we were supposed to go do something that day. And I am a very planned person. Spontaneity is not really in my vocabulary. I'm not a person that likes surprises. I love to have an itinerary for any kind of trip that I'm going on. I like to have plans. I just have been like that since I was a child. So I had the whole day planned for my friend who was in town visiting, and I don't know exactly what set it off, but it was like every single plan that I had made that day began to unravel. Everything was falling apart, and I kept trying to like adjust my plans to accommodate the things that were falling through. And at one point throughout the day, I got so frustrated and so flustered that I had a full-blown panic attack. I mean, full-blown in a parking lot with my friend in the passenger seat, crying, hyperventilating, not being able to process my thoughts in a clear pattern, feeling like I was just kind of imploding, all because of these plans that just kind of unraveled. And then I started to spiral. And I share that example because if you are somebody who struggles with perfectionism and high functioning anxiety, I know that you know what I'm talking about. And it doesn't have to be the same type of thing. You may not be the type of person who likes things planned, but I know that at some point in your life, you have had something that you've been so focused on that you've strived for, that you've tried to make absolutely perfect. And for whatever reason, challenges came along and totally derailed that, and you totally lost it. First of all, if that's you, I empathize with you because I struggle with this all the time. I've gotten a lot better in my age and just learning how to cope and understanding both of these complex issues, but I am not perfect at it. There are days where I wake up and for whatever reason, I don't always have self-compassion and I feel like I'm just failing miserably at managing my mental health, or I'm struggling with my perfectionism and I start beating myself up. I empathize with you. It's hard. It's hard to unlearn these things because a lot of times we've learned them as small children or young teenagers. We've learned these habits. Our brain has wired us for these types of characteristics about ourselves. That's who we've become now. And so we're having to not only recognize those traits in us and start spotting the signals, but now we're having to rewire our brain. And nothing about that is easy. So if you feel like you relate to that, first, I just want to give you a virtual hug and say, don't be so hard on yourself, okay? It's freaking hard. It's hard to unlearn perfectionism. It is hard to cope with high-functioning anxiety. Number two, I want to say to you, if you feel like you're struggling with this to the point where it's really taking over your life, like I always say, I highly encourage you to seek professional support and professional help. But I also want to say, don't give up. Don't start imploding. There are so many different ways that you can manage both of these things. And there are so many different ways to just help limit the amount of stress that it's causing you in your life. And I know that may sound like that's not going to happen for me. I'm too far gone. I promise you, if you learn some strategies that truly will help and you apply them on a regular basis, you will start to see a difference. But it's all about that application. You've got to stay on it. Okay, well, now that I have shared, you know, the correlation between high functioning anxiety and perfectionism, and I've shared a little bit about myself, I want to start kind of getting into the nitty gritty. What are some common signs of perfectionism? Number one is setting unrealistic goals. I'm laughing because I do this and I have to watch myself. A lot of times someone who is struggling with perfectionism strives for standards that are almost unattainable. And let me give you an example of that. Let's say you are somebody who has a weight loss goal and you're really trying to lose 30 pounds. Instead of trying to, you know, give yourself a reasonable amount of time to lose 30 pounds, like, you know, 9 to 12 months, you're trying to now lose 30 pounds in 3 months. That is an unattainable goal. Unless you're taking Ozempic or you're taking some sort of extreme weight loss supplement that's probably not very healthy for you, or maybe you had like a lap band surgery or something like that. If you're going just by regular dieting and exercise, it's very unlikely you're going to lose 30 pounds in a 3 month time. And setting up a goal like that, you're going to fail. And now you failed yourself, and as a perfectionist, that's going to do even more damage to that anxiety. Another common sign of perfectionism is procrastination. So this can look like delaying tasks, and you may be thinking, why would a perfectionist have a procrastination issue? Well, a lot of times, a perfectionist will delay a task to avoid the fear of it not being perfect. And it's almost like, if you just don't ever submit that project, or if you don't complete the book that you're writing, or if you don't finish that painting that you're working on, you don't have to worry about failing. Another sign of perfectionism is overworking. And this basically is just spending excessive amounts of time on tasks and to ensure that they're flawless, so there is no imperfections whatsoever. Number four would be fear of failure. A lot of times it's more so than just submitting in something and having the fear of it not being great. Like if you're submitting in a project for work, it sometimes fear of failure can just be avoiding new challenges due to fear of making mistakes. I have a friend who got divorced several years ago, and ever since she got divorced, she has barely dated and is pretty much just given up on relationships in general. And while that's a fine journey for her, she has opened up to me that she has dealt with perfectionism so much that she has avoided getting into another serious relationship because of the fear of making mistakes and making another failed marriage. That kind of perfectionism is crippling because it doesn't allow you the opportunity to make mistakes. Mistakes are a good thing. They help you learn. It's an opportunity to recognize that you just went through an experience where, okay, I could have done something different, and now I know a different way to approach something. And that leads me to number five, is self-criticism. This is a very common sign of perfectionism, and I would say probably the most common. It's just being overly harsh to yourself for small errors. Now, I'm not saying we should just be going out making mistakes all the time and making errors and running amok and not having any kind of self-conviction. Obviously, when you make a mistake, you need to own up to it, have that accountability with yourself, and, you know, recognize what you could have done better. But when you constantly batter yourself down because you've made a mistake, you're not helping yourself move forward. You're just kind of looking backward. And my dad always likes to say, you can't look into the future when you're constantly looking into the past. So when your self-criticism is deterring you from moving forward, you're not growing. That's really what it boils down to. You've stopped and stunted yourself from self-growth. So now that we've talked about some common signs of perfectionism, and you're like, holy crap, one or two or all of these are me, let's talk about some ways to cope with these, because they're not only going to help cope with the perfectionism, they're going to help cope with the high-functioning anxiety. These are some strategies that have worked really, really well for me, and I hope that they'll work well for you, but these are also research-based strategies. So this isn't just some strange, random woman on a podcast giving you advice that she's done for herself. These are scientifically backed things that have helped others and not just myself. So just like we talked about self-criticism, let's do the opposite of that. Let's practice self-compassion. You guys have heard me talk about this on other subjects before, but I really like to try to drive this one home because it applies to so many different types of mental health issues. Treat yourself with the same kindness that you would offer a friend. Be kind to yourself. If your best friend came to you and shared all these things that they feel like they're messing up on, what would you tell them? You would tell them that it's going to be okay, that you love them, that they've learned from this experience. You would probably say, everyone makes mistakes. Now, instead of that being your best friend, say that to yourself and start saying it to yourself a lot more regularly. A few months ago, I was going through such a devastating portion of my life that I literally started putting sticky notes on my bathroom mirror, and it really helped me. And the sticky notes were just phrases of kindness that I would say to a friend, but I would start them out with saying Adrian. So it would say like, Adrian, everyone makes mistakes. And another sticky note would say, Adrian, it's gonna be okay. Adrian, be kind to yourself today. Those types of things, when you practice it more regularly, it's going to change that default in your brain. You're going to stop the default from being self-critical to start slowly changing into the default of being more self-compassionate. Number two is set realistic goals. I talked about a sign of perfectionism being these unachievable goals. We'll break down very large tasks into manageable steps and then only focus on those steps and aim for progress, not perfection. Remember this, okay? Something being complete is better than it being perfect. That is something that has really helped me. Number three, and I've talked about this before, is challenge negative thoughts. I have a whole podcast episode on this. So if this is something that you struggle with, being overly critical and negative to yourself to the point of self-deprecation, I'm going to advise you to just try to listen to that podcast. It will probably really help you. But notice when you're being overly critical and ask yourself, is this true? Is this thought that I'm having about myself true? Is this thought helpful? If the answer to those questions are no, change the thought. Number four, set boundaries. Learn when to say no and prioritize your well-being. This means try to not overcommit to tasks and projects that do not align with your wellness goals and self-care. This is very hard for me. I have struggled with this one for a really long time. I still struggle with this one regularly. I tend to overextend myself because, one, I like to stay busy. I like to have a lot to do. But two, whenever people ask me to do things, I try to be helpful. And so I tend to run myself thin. And then I realize I'm freaking burned out because I haven't prioritized my own needs. And when you overcommit to stuff like that, generally you're not committing any compassion or love to yourself. So setting boundaries is going to really help you with the high functioning anxiety and the perfectionism. Number five, this is probably obvious, is embrace imperfection. Allow yourself to make mistakes and learn from them. Understanding that imperfection is going to happen, that's a part of growth and personal development. Allow yourself to make mistakes and learn to laugh about them. When you make a mistake, say, you know what? That sucks. I made a mistake, but you know what? I learned something from this, and now I'm going to do something different. And then lastly, meditation. I know you guys are tired of hearing me talk about meditation, and I'm sorry, but it does help. So if you incorporate any kind of mindfulness practices or meditation practices into your routine, those are going to help reduce stress, which is also going to improve your overall well-being. And it's going to help take your mind off of those tasks. I like to practice yoga. That's something that really helps me. But there's so many different types of mindfulness and meditation activities that you can do that are going to promote relaxation. Okay, so we've learned some strategies on how to cope with perfectionism and high functioning anxiety. But what are some actual practical exercises that you can do? I've got four great exercises that you can do to help cope with perfectionism, and they are very easy to apply. Number one is celebrate progress. Anytime you're working on a project or you're working on task and you get something complete, celebrate it. Celebrate that small progress. Don't just celebrate the final outcome. If you're only focused on the end goal, you're going to likely get burned out and probably overexert yourself. But if you can break down large projects into small attainable goals, like I previously mentioned, every time you reach one of those small attainable goals, you can give yourself some praise. And then it's like, okay, check, this one's done. I'll focus on the next one when I'm ready or when it's time. When you learn to kind of take a step back from that large final destination, you'll learn how to recognize and appreciate the small steps that you've taken towards your goals, and it's not going to feel so unattainable. Number two, and this one is really, really important for you people out there that are struggling with perfectionism, time management. Use time management techniques to allocate specific periods of time for the tasks that you're trying to achieve. This is gonna help prevent burnout, but it's also gonna help prevent procrastination. If you set a timer and commit to a starting time and a stopping time, it's going to help you stay more accountable, but it's also not going to allow you to overexert yourself in work. The time management one is good for me personally. It really helps me with my perfectionism. Number three is gratitude journaling. I know not everybody likes journaling, so this might not be a practical application for you if this isn't the type of exercise that you would enjoy, but I didn't think that I would like this either. And I started doing journaling over the summer, and it did help me actually on a massive scale of not just perfectionism and anxiety, but it helped me just become more appreciative of my life and stop being so negative. And there is so much science behind the mental health benefits of practicing gratitude. So a very easy way to do that is keeping a gratitude journal. You can actually find some of these on Amazon. They're like guided gratitude journals, and that might be a good place to start if you don't know how to do this. But basically, take a journal and write down every day five things that you're grateful for, and then also acknowledge your accomplishments in that journal, no matter how small. Even if it's like, I made my bed today, or I took a 10-minute walk. You know, just small things to focus on the things that you're achieving, to focus on the things that you're happy about. Keeping your mind on joyful things or things that are driving you is going to keep a more positive state of mind and reduce some of that self-criticism. And that leads me to our last practical exercise, number four, start your day with positive affirmations. Daily affirmations. I know people probably think, well, I'm not gonna say that. I think a lot of people think that affirmations are cheesy. And let's be honest, sometimes they can be. But if you are somebody who is really struggling with high functioning anxiety, or you are really struggling with perfectionism, or you're struggling with managing just negative thoughts in general, daily affirmations are very likely going to help you. Because like I said before, you're having to rewire your brain. You're having to tell your brain a different way to think. And that's not easy. So a good way to start challenging the way that your brain is defaulting now is to starting with a positive affirmation every single day. And it could look something like, I am enough, or I am worthy just as I am, or I can make mistakes and it'll be okay. Reminding yourself of these positive things is really going to help break down some of that negative structure we've built for ourselves. Remember that struggling with high functioning anxiety and or struggling with perfectionism, trying to overcome these things, it's a journey, okay? It's not a destination. You're never going to be perfect at coping with perfectionism. And it sounds like, you know, a cute little saying that you would post on Instagram, but it's true. If you are somebody who is struggling with perfectionism, it is very easy to get derailed in your mental health when you're trying to learn coping mechanisms because you're trying to be perfect at them. It's not going to be easy. Let me just go ahead and burst that bubble for you. You're gonna struggle, you're gonna slip, but you have to keep going. It's all about finding balance that allows you to strive for excellence without sacrificing your well-being. You're doing an incredible job. Just the fact that you're listening to podcasts like this or doing your research online or probably talking to a friend about it, that tells me that you are currently a work in progress and you're trying to learn skills to better yourself. And that's a great thing. Give yourself a freaking high five for that. It's not easy recognizing that, hey, I'm struggling with something and I need to learn how to better cope with it. Well, as we're wrapping up, I'd like to remind you that if you found this episode helpful, please share it with a friend or leave a review. I'd love to hear your thoughts about this or any topics you'd like me to cover in the future. Thank you for tuning in to Us Unfiltered. Until next time, remember, mental health matters and so do you.